Today on Seculo, the racist left. Thousands spewing racial slurs at Tim Scott after he delivers the response to Joe Biden's speech.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So last night, if you could get through Joe Biden's hour 9 minute long socialist wish list, read totally off the teleprompter into a mostly empty room, even though everyone's been vaccinated there for over a couple of months. Those were the first people to receive vaccines. Still masked. Still, most members of Congress weren't able to attend. Not a lot of guests. They had virtual guests, but it was just it was just bullet point after bullet point of massive spending, a total of over $6 trillion that we'd all have to pay for. And we're not addressing the fact that we're not even open as a country. That instead of addressing when are schools going to open, when are people going to be able to go back to work, when are the towers in New York going to reopen, when are the buildings in New York going to reopen, when are people, the border crisis, those weren't addressed. Instead, it was things that will literally not happen during Joe Biden's life. Even if it was approved by Congress, he would probably not live to see any of these programs. And that's not a mean statement. That's just reality. Because these were 25, 30-year-long New Deal-type plans that Congress 50-50 is not going to pass.
Well, that's why he kept invoking the memory of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Yeah. And the New Deal and the Work Progress Administration and that kind of approach to governing. But I'm going to start with some of the atmospherics of the room, if I can. I found that very disheartening, especially since the rollout of the vaccine has been so successful. First of all, Joe Biden never gave any thanks or praise to the Trump administration for getting a vaccine approved in record times. Never happened in human history, and it was approved and done. He claimed the credit for the rollout, and admittedly, the rollout's been very good. But it was under the Trump administration that the vaccine was developed. Then explain this to me. And I'm all for taking precautions. We wore masks in here for a long time. I've been vaccinated. Most of us have been vaccinated here. Everybody in that room was vaccinated. They were way apart, yet they were all wearing masks. And that doesn't, it takes away from the hope, I think, that some people have. And then it gives people that are skeptical a reason to say, well, what's really going on here? Then you get into the substance of the socialist moment. That's what I call it. It was a socialist moment. A $6 trillion package. And when he talked about infrastructure, what every commentator, at least honest commentator, said was that it's not rebuilding the roads and bridges. That's not what he's really talking about. No. But I got to say this also, and then I'll send it back to you, Jordan. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, who we've represented on a lot of briefs to the Supreme Court, in fact, one right now, friend of ours, it was the best response speech that I ever heard delivered. And there were some good. Bob McDonald from Virginia did a very good one a number of years ago.
That's how rare it is to say that.
Yeah, you could think of two in your lifetime.
And it's a very tough job.
Tim Scott was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, so you got...
But then attacked.
But attacked with serious racist slurs because he has the audacity to be black, a Republican from the South, who said, he's voted his whole life in the South and had not had issues. He represents a more modern look at where we are as the world and had the audacity to say that America is not a racist country overall. Not to say we don't have issues, but overall, the country's not racist. Because painting America like that is very anti-American. It plays into the Chinese, who are human rights abusers, because they say, well, if you're calling yourselves racist in this horrible country, don't tell us that we're committing genocide against some group. Don't clean up your own house first kind of thing. And again, it's that anti-Americanism. We the people means the government, and we can get into that as well. Joe Biden's saying we the people means the government. And we all know this is the exact opposite, but we want your thoughts too. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Too secular. So we're talking about, obviously, there's response to Tim Scott making the statement that America's not a racist country, and then this backlash calling him, you know, Uncle Tim, you know, like the Uncle Tom, and this kind of idea that you can't, if you don't walk this party line, if you're African American, if you're black, and you don't walk the party line as a Democrat, you could attack someone. You can use racism against him.
Yeah, you know,
and you could use the old racist attacks against him because he doesn't fit your narrative.
I was horrified at some of the comments that were up on Twitter targeting Tim Scott. And, of course, I remember this was, of course, pre-Twitter. The same kind of statements were being used against Clarence Thomas. And I want to go to Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, on this. Because you would think that, you know, when we talk about racism in America, we saw it last night. It wasn't, it was coming from the left on Twitter feeds.
Absolutely. And no one should be surprised with the vitriol and with the venom that was expressed against Tim Scott. How dare he declare independence from the progressive plantation? How dare he express any independent thought about the future of the country, the future of African Americans? How dare he talk about the tremendous progress that African Americans, Latinos, and women have made under the Trump administration? In some sense, the progressives believe that the only reason to support African Americans and to support African American voters is when they go to the ballot box. They cannot be seen as independent. And so progressives consistently express the bigotry, the soft bigotry or the harsh bigotry of low expectations. And that includes disallowing African Americans from having an independent thought.
Harry's absolutely correct. I want to go to Than Bennett. Than, what has been the colleagues of Tim Scott? Have they made statements yet on this?
Yeah, they're starting to, Jay. I mean, first of all, I think you're hearing a trend. You saw last night how effective Senator Scott was on a number of issues.
I mean,
he drew from his faith in that very powerful closing. He drew from his personal story, caught into Congress in one generation. And then obviously drew from his personal knowledge that, yes, America has flaws that we need to work through, but we're also the land of opportunity. And he spoke to both of those in such an effective way. I thought Lindsey Graham actually was one of the ones that obviously a personal relationship from the same state expressing support for that. But Jay, two things I would say about that. That's one of the reasons why he is the lead in our brief that we're filing in that tax case where the COVID bill is blocking states from reducing taxes, because he can speak to that school choice issue like few others. And the second thing I would say quickly, Jay, can you imagine if it had been a conservative that was leading that racial slur on Twitter? How soon do you think would Twitter have blocked that phrase?
It took Twitter a little while to do it, unfortunately, with the double standard.
Maybe evening.
Yeah, to the
all night.
Yeah.
Until this morning. I mean, so it took, you know, not 24 hours, but 12 hours.
Yeah, ridiculous. And here's the thing, and I'm not, whether they ban it or not, it's not what I'm talking about. The fact is, people, I want to see people condemning those kind of statements aimed at a good man. Now, Andy, you sent me a text during Tim Scott's speech, and you said, this is the future. This is the way the Republican Party should be moving forward.
That's exactly right, Jay, and it should be. The bright shining star on the firmament of the Republican Party is someone like Senator Scott. He's articulate. He is sincere. He is Christian in his thoughts. What a terrible thing to express your Christianity and to embrace
right.
it. What a terrible thing that he quoted from Scripture at the end of his speech and made a statement about the grace of God. What an awful thing to say. What a horrible thing that progressives condemned him for doing that. A person who grew up in South Carolina with just a mother to raise him, who had a grandfather who couldn't read, but put the newspaper in front of him as an example for others to read, who went to Chick-fil-A and got his start, who really brought himself up. No, that's not what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to wait for the government to hand out stuff to him because he's African-American. He's supposed to wait for the progressives to give him stuff. He's supposed to get food stamps. He's supposed to get Section 8 housing. He's supposed to wait and get all the benefits of big government. No, that's not what Tim Scott did. And he made the statement that we're not a racist country, and we're not. We're not a racist country. There are racists in this country. There are racists all over the world. But Tim Scott, as I said, was the shining star in the firmament yesterday, and that is the face and the future of the Republican Party. If it is, I'm all for it, Jay.
Didn't Vice President Harris agree that the United States is not a racist country? Wasn't there an agreement? Yeah. She said it. I think last night she issued a statement. I can't hear you well. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's play it.
Senator Tim Scott said last night that America is not a racist country. Do you agree with that? And what do you make of his warning against fighting discrimination with more discrimination?
No, I don't think America is a racist country, but we also do have to speak truth about the history of racism in our country. And it's
okay, so there you go. It's exactly what Tim Scott said. Is anyone going to call out? No one would have the nerve, Harry, to say to Vice President Harris, okay, you know, some kind of racial epithet, and that's what it is.
I think that is correct. I think Vice President Harris has achieved a level of protection. Why? Because she is willing to, after admitting that the United States is not a racist country, then accept the progressive narrative that virtually everything in the United States is about race. And the only way we can solve everything from climate change to U.S. energy policy is by focusing on race and perhaps white supremacy. And so I think the American people reject this progressive narrative, and that is why Tim Scott's statement last night was so dazzling and was so welcome, I think, in the homes of most American people.
Yeah, again, Joe Biden's speech was just unrealistic. It didn't seem like he was speaking to a half-empty room about all these massive programs, and people can't even go back to the job that they have right now. If they've kept it, they're still working, you know, virtually. Big corporations are afraid to open up their headquarters, their buildings, don't even know if they're ever going to have the people back. And he's talking about rebuilding Pittsburgh. It's wonderful to talk about rebuilding Pittsburgh, but are you going to allow the people even into the factory, enough people to where it would affect the people working there? If any of these plans were funded, who is gathering together if you can't gather into Congress? So instead of sending a message, what would have been a powerful message is if Joe Biden would have taken the mantle of this vaccine's working, and that was a full room, packed house, saying you could go inside in Washington, D.C., in a packed house, instead of a empty seats, looking weak, looking scared, looking feeble, which is his specialty. And someone, again, that you just don't believe anything he's saying is reality. Because look at the room. It's a bunch of, it's just kind of old.
It was ridiculous.
And quiet and absurd. And it's virtue signaling. And it's telling people to be a good American. Don't go back to your office.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go back to work. Don't go back to a concert. Don't go back to your bars and restaurants. You have to be 6 feet apart from everybody, even after you've been vaccinated. So either he doesn't trust the vaccine, or they like the idea that more and more people need the government. They love the idea that so many people need to get on Obamacare because of economic problems that came from this.
I want to follow up on that.
That's not a positive.
Yep.
That's a negative, that because we had to deal with a pandemic in our country.
You know, I the irony of this, and I've got something for Harry, but I'm going to save it for the next segment. I want to talk about this we the people issue. But Andy, I and you and I have both, we've been, I'd say everybody on the studio has been vaccinated. But the imaging they sent, to me, sends the wrong message to the United States, to our citizens. They were safe. Even the former head of Planned Parenthood, who's a CNN commentator, former Baltimore, do we have any of the statements from her, Baltimore officials? She said this. She said it. And I will tell you, she said that this was unnecessary to be double-masked and masked when everybody had been vaccinated. Andy?
Yeah, well, Jay, that's the progressive agenda. The progressive agenda is to squelch the idea of self-enrichment, progressive ideas. Tried to portray a sort of a feeble attitude, as Jordan said, that we're, you know, sort of locked up in our cages without going out into the public. And this is the idea of dependence, because that's what progressive ideas and democratic power grab ideas want to portray. And that is one of dependence and feebleness. And that is not at all what Senator Scott portrayed or what the United States is all about. And that's exactly the vision that I got looking at that empty House chamber last night that looked absolutely awful.
You know, her opinion piece says, with masks and distancing, Biden's speech sent the wrong message about the power of our vaccines. It was message wrong, the substance was wrong, the atmospherics were wrong, and Tim Scott was phenomenal.
And Biden also admitted this idea of American defeatism, which is that we can't solve everything on our own. America can't handle problems. We can't handle this. We can't handle that. And yet over history, we have.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back, 1-800-684-3110. So, I mean, you see massive contrast. I saw last night, too, the most excited member of Congress was Bernie Sanders.
Of course.
And he was not excited by Barack Obama. He was not excited by, you know, nothing was big enough for him. But this time around, he was right up front. He was not falling asleep. He was not, you know, bored. This was like his wish list that you had a so-called uniter with a soft voice go through. So it may not have been delivered the way that Bernie Sanders would deliver it, but a very these are his ideas. Basically, that the government is you are the government, we're indistinguishable. That's China. That's the idea of China and the Communist Party, the Communist Party in China, is that the government, the party, the idea is bigger than the individual. So take a listen, because Joe Biden said, our Constitution, his interpretation of we the people is we the government. Take a listen.
Our Constitution opens with the words, as trite as it sounds, we the people. Well, it's time to remember that we, the people, are the government, you and I, not some force in a distant capital, not some powerful force that we have no control over. It's us. It's we, the people.
First of all, I'm going to break this down. As trite as it sounds, we, the people. First of all, it's that we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union. That means we, the people, will form the union. We will establish the government, which is what it says, but we are not the government. And Harry, you and I talked about this from a policy standpoint, and then Andy, you could talk from a historical standpoint. It's completely wrong.
Absolutely. So we are being encouraged to do one thing, to substitute our belief in God for a belief in government and the superiority of government. Who could forget, for instance, what Governor Cuomo said with respect to dealing with the pandemic? God had nothing to do with it. In other words, humankind, human innovation, that's all we need. But we are one nation under God, indivisible, not one nation under the elites in Washington, D.C., indivisible.
Here's what President Reagan said in 1986 about the government.
The nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
So Joe Biden got this, Andy, completely backwards.
Well, he did, and obviously he doesn't know history and he hasn't read history. Look, there was a famous statement made by King Louis XIV. They asked him about the state and the government, and he said in French, l'état, c'est moi. The state, that's me. And that is exactly what we fought a revolution against England right. to prevent from happening. The state is not the government, rather the people. We gave the government limited powers in our Constitution. We retained the sovereignty. We retained the ultimate decision-making authority. We, the people, and the government are not at all the same thing. We have given the government limited powers over us, and we retain the sovereignty ultimately to determine our fate. So when Biden says the government and the people are the same thing, he has obviously never read history and never heard of the French Revolution or the American Revolution for that matter. And to say that about a president of the United States is pretty pitiful.
And the idea that it's not this behemoth that's out of, I mean, it is. The fact is that, yes, you get to elect your leaders, and there was a lot of controversy in the last election. I mean, the fact that he just got over the fact that 50% of the country didn't think that the election was held correctly or properly, not addressed, you know, someone who's supposed to be unifying, and the idea that you have, again, a divided Congress, but also this bureaucracy that is a behemoth And if you try to do anything to that, you know, it attacks you. Donald Trump is living proof of that. It's ongoing as we speak. Still, the attack of what it means to even try and clean up what is a government that is out of control, that you can't touch, that you can't impact, that seems like it doesn't matter who you elect, they are still there. They're still in their job with their politics playing a role inside their non-political positions. And we have to do a lot of work. Now, this is the question that America has to face. Do you want the government running your life for the and so taking over every aspect of your decision making, calling you a racist, telling your kids they're racist, telling your that everybody how horrible the country is. Even when the vice president said, you know, I don't think we're a racist country, but we have this racist history. It's the constantly going back instead of looking forward.
Yeah.
To say you're all bad. Now this is a newer strategy to try and pose, but then they're using the pandemic to say, do you really want a free, free economy? Do you really want trickle down economics? Talking about 650 rich people. I mean, that's not really that important in a country of 300 million plus.
Correct.
Yeah, there's 650 really successful people who are mostly in tech, so they weren't as impacted by a pandemic.
Right.
That's
the nature of the industry that they're in.
Yeah.
But I think there's another aspect of this, and this is this push for an expansive government. And Biden made it very clear, the president made it very clear, he wants an expansive role in government in our lives, in healthcare and everything else. I mean, anything, a wish list of socialist ideals. No wonder Bernie Sanders was smiling. Now I want to play what Joe Manchin said. This is a Democrat from West Virginia, and then get fans' comments on, is this thing I got a chance to get through? Let's play what Joe Manchin said.
Are you concerned about this push for a more expansive government?
Oh, most certainly. Yeah, I am. But I want to see the details, as we talked before. But we can't overreach to the point to where we stymie investments. We stymie basically growth for 2022, 2023, 2024 and on. So we'll look at all that.
So, Than, how do you see it playing out? I mean, this wish, this new act that he's coming, this $6 trillion program. Is it going to get through?
Well, I think portions of it certainly have a chance. I mean, it's going to be up to Joe Manchin and a few others in the Senate to keep it from going through. But look, Jay, I mean, I think you can tie all these strings together. I mean, the message last night from President Biden was that Washington is the answer to all of these problems, when the American people know very good and well that Washington is actually the problem. They're not the solution. They're not the answer. They're the problem. Jay, I think the reason that President Biden is confusing the government and the people is because he's been a part of the government for nearly half a century. So it might be true for him, but it's certainly not true for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, Washington is very out of touch for most Americans. They don't feel like they have a lot of say, especially the senators who are only elected every 6 years. So once they get elected, it's a long time until they're kind of back. And yeah, some are more effective. Some, are, I think, do a better job of speaking out to their constituents. But to feel as an individual American, you know, why do we organize into groups like the ACLJ? Why do we put ourselves together to take on these entities? Because you cannot do it by yourself. You can have the right ideas, but you can't take on the government by yourself or in these portions of the government. And so this idea, again, that we are back to praising the big government programs instead of being the honest truth. The reason why there's a vaccine is because the Trump administration told the FDA, cut the red tape.
Right.
So emergency approvals. They would never, they'd still be in their testing process on pigs if this was the Joe Biden government running the vaccine. They'd still be testing and testing and testing, and we'd still be shut down completely.
You're absolutely right.
But they want us to stay shut down. I mean, that's the interesting thing. They want us to stay on that edge where you need the stimulus check from the government.
Oh, they want to do another stimulus. No question. Hey, folks, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes, so make sure you're getting the full hour of the broadcast. You're getting it on our social media platforms, of course, on SiriusXM, number of radio stations, but get the whole hour. But, folks, we're in our last 2 days of our matching challenge campaign. This is it for the month of April. This is a big, big month for us. Go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for you. See the program. You hear the analysis you're getting. You know the action that we take in Washington and around the globe. aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Saculo Live. And now, your host, Jordan Saculo.
All right, welcome back to Saculo. So you had Joe Biden's address to Congress. It's basically the State of the Union. Obviously, you don't do that until you've been in government for a year. But you still make the address. This address came later than most. And usually around springtime. But also, it was bizarre because we've had the vaccine. They pushed the vaccine. They've all been vaccinated. They still had all this space in between the senators. Listen to, I want to say, this is kind of like how the evening started. And there's obviously all what you could get focused in on different areas. I think the big themes are big government, individual liberty at war. But listen to Kevin McCarthy. I mean, these are the finer points of how absurd these Biden plans are when we are a nation that is still not reopened. This is how the night started for those few members of Congress that actually did attend last night. Take a listen.
They handed out a mask to every member, an N95. And you know what was planted on the front of that mask? Made in China. They handed the U.S. Congress, every single member, a mask that said made in China.
Well, they're right about this. Now, the mask was made in China, and so was the virus. And here's the reality. Everybody in that room was vaccinated. Every single person in that room was vaccinated. And yet, in the speech, Biden himself said, "Buy American." We should continue. There's nothing wrong with that. He said it's been that way since the 1930s. It's the law. Listen to what he said.
American tax dollars are going to be used to buy American products made in America to create American jobs. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it will be in this administration.
Clap, and that's great. And if there'd be criticism, of course, if Donald Trump had said it, because that's exactly what Donald Trump said.
He's not,
but they're not buying in America.
No, they're not buying America because he later on said there's exemptions, and of course the government has, he's trying to tighten up these exemptions. All he's talking about there is not you making the decision to buy American products. He's talking about the government using your taxpayer dollars to buy American products, which you'd think they'd be doing in the first place, but they have all these exemptions. Why? Because our manufacturing is not up to speed. Why those N95 masks say made in China is because we don't have the kind of capacity to put those together at a cost that is viable by the U.S. government.
Yeah, and Harry, from an economic standpoint, well, first of all, the imaging of that is horrific. I mean, the virus, comes from China. We have Chinese masks that are produced to do it while the president's saying, buy American.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you should take away from that particular statement from President Biden is that President Biden remains massively confused. We are still a dependent country. We depend on China for a disproportionate number of drugs, and many important drugs. And what is the Biden administration doing? What are the Democrats doing? They are expanding, as we speak, our dependence on China. And they don't seem to be driven by any urgency to change this particular pattern. So if Joe Biden really wants to deliver on making products in America as opposed to China, one place he should start, and start very, very quickly, and that is by ensuring that all essential drugs are now made in the United States.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. We'll get your thoughts to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And then if you have the audacity to put out a different idea about the country, to say, hey, our country as a whole, we're not all racist. This is not like the entire country, the problems that we see, we deal with, but we can move forward and look forward to the future instead of telling our kids how bad they are before while they're kids. And you get called racial slurs used against you if you have a different idea about what the government should be. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
It's interesting where we are at now, because it is dangerous ground when you are a president, you're an administration, but your activists are out of control because you spew the same hate that they take on. You just might do it in a more politician style. But the fact that Tim Scott's speech and the reaction by the hard left to the speech is a bigger story than just Joe Biden saying all these plans they would like to do, but it's a divided Congress, so some will get through, some might not get through, and he didn't really explain when any of this would actually happen, because we're not even an open country yet. To me, the whole thing is like he's speaking to a half-empty room because they won't let people in, and we're supposed to believe in these massive spending plans for a country that you're not even allowed to go to a concert inside, and schools aren't reopened everywhere, and we don't even know if they're going to reopen in the fall. Those are the kind of priorities I think that people actually would care about the government being involved in, where the government can take this role.
Yep.
But instead, the response, which usually is politically fraught, I mean, I think everybody will tell you
it's
a big job you get, but it's also, it could lead to political, it could end your political career, and oftentimes, or just not make any news at all. But last night it did. And let's play from Tim Scott. Let's go to that bite.
I've also experienced a different kind of intolerance. I get called Uncle Tom and the N-word by progressives, by liberals. Just last week, a national newspaper suggested my family's poverty was actually privilege. Because a relative owned land generations before my time. Believe me, I know firsthand our healing is not finished.
I'm going to just say it. I keep saying that this is the future of the Republican Party. I think this is the future of the United States. And I want to go to Harry first and then Andy. And it was a fantastic speech, but dealt with the reality of what the progressive left, Harry, is trying to do.
Absolutely. And the progressive left has always had a consistent policy of suppression and subordination for independent African Americans, Latinos, and for that matter, women. So if you go back to the 1930s in the United States, what did we see from progressives? And I mean Democrats. We saw genocide. We saw eugenics. We saw abortion. We saw exclusion from the labor force through deliberate and premeditated federal government policy. And if you go back even further, guess what? We saw Jim Crow, and we saw voter suppression coming from whom? Coming from Democrats. So I think it is clear beyond question that Tim Scott represents a new breed of American, an American who is willing to stand up to the prevailing narrative of the left. He is willing to stand up to the Washington Post, which basically suggested that he was privileged without referencing the fact that it's actually the owner of the Washington Post who is privileged. And that is Jeff Bezos, who is one of the world's richest men, worth something like $150 to $200 billion. And so Tim Scott, I think, is a great American story, but the progressive left is quite prepared to ignore it. Why? Because he's an independent thinking African American.
You know, Andy, I thought about the fact that, you know, Biden got his history wrong, and then Tim Scott delivers such a compelling statement on the real principles of America. I mean, that what we... We did not always reach our ideals, to be sure, but the idea of equal justice under the law. I mean, Tim Scott in his life has strived for that and has seen it. And I mean, I've talked to Clarence Thomas about that before. I mean, and our friend Larry Thompson, a former assistant attorney general, deputy attorney general of the United States. This is, and then for him to receive the vitriol of the left on social media platforms. And as you said, can you imagine if somebody, like Jordan said, if somebody from the right did that? But to receive that vitriol tells you there is a divide in the country, but a lot of it's coming from these so-called progressives.
Well, that is. And, you know, you really brought up three very important figures. Clarence Thomas, who I do not know. Tim Scott, who I do not know. But Larry Thompson, who I do know and for whom I worked, who was the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia. He didn't come up with any privilege. He was from Hannibal, Missouri. He went to work for Monsanto. He worked his way up. He became United States Attorney for Atlanta and then became Deputy Attorney General of the United States. He's an African American. Did he do it because he had some kind of privileged background? Absolutely not. He did it because he had drive, because he had independence, because he had the American dream behind him, and he made one of the most fantastic public servants ever that we ever had, and it was a pleasure and a privilege for me to work under him. And it's the same thing with Tim Scott. What the progressives want Black Americans to be, what they want women to be, what they want Asians to be, and anybody who is in a minority is dependent on the government.
Right.
We don't want you to think for yourself. We want you to depend upon the government to do the thinking for you, and we're going to tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And we're going to make statements like Tim Scott is Uncle Tom or a racist. How dare he say that America is not racist because he doesn't fit the mold. Let me tell you something that scared me. When Joe Biden starts quoting Franklin D. Roosevelt in the year 2021 and starts making those analogies, you better start getting scared about where this federal government is headed.
Also, these individuals that they bring up were racist, had very racist policies. I mean, this 1930s America was not the but yet they can use them as, it's like Margaret Sanger and all this stuff. That's
finally
fine.
Planned Parenthood has now said Margaret Sanger, our founder, was wrong, horrible. But they admit she was a eugenist.
Yeah, and support of the KKK. All of their pet projects, it's divide. That's their strategy. It's always divide and conquer. You divide around racial lines, economic lines, sex, men, women, and anything you can do to put people into categories. They love checking these boxes. I mean, and that's the opposite of what Republicans kind of come for, which is that it doesn't matter what box you check. We don't care if you're Elon Musk or if you're Jeff Bezos. It doesn't matter. You can make it in America. But I think that the idea, like SpaceX, what got us our space program to the next level was private industry working with the government, not the government.
Right. Exactly.
NASA was dead. They could not even figure out how to. They got lots of money, and they couldn't launch anything.
Yeah, Harry, you're smiling over there. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that Jordan's analysis is spot on. It's clear beyond question that the original progressive architects and some New Deal renovators were partisans of what? Human inequality. For example, the labor legislation that they pioneered was designed to exclude immigrants, women, and African Americans. Additionally, progressives were what? Enthusiastic biologists. Biologists believe that biology, that is race, determine human worth. Mm-hmm. American labor reformers judged an impressive array of human groups unworthy of work. They called them the so-called unemployable, and they engaged in deliberate and premeditated policies to ensure that they were unemployed. And that is the legacy of the Joe Bidens of the world, and yet they now want to assert that it is Tim Scott standing in the doorway preventing African-American progress when it is their own racist history that does so very effectively.
Harry is 100% correct. I hope we clip this out and we send this out. But listen also to what Senator Scott said right on that point.
We are family. We are all in this together, and we get to live in the greatest country on earth. The country where my grandfather in his 94 years saw his family go from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. So I am more than hopeful. I am confident that our finest hour is yet to come. Original sin is never the end of the story, not in our souls and not for our nation. The real story is always redemption. I am standing here because my mom has prayed me through some really tough times.
I think it's the checking the box. We recently had our third child, so you fill out the Social Security. It was like four different questions to try to get your race. You know, it's like, are you this, but are you also, but are you Hispanic? But even if you said no the first time, the second box, like how many different ways to categorize Americans instead of just saying, hey, we're born in America, here we go. And you know, it's one thing to say we want statistics on this, but these are the individuals. They grew up in the American South, where there, when he says that, there were plenty of people he's talking about too who are white who had the same experience, who were the from cotton to Congress also.
Right.
Is that most people weren't plantation owners.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So I think last night we had an opportunity as a country to have our president tell us that, you know, and it could have been demonstrated by a packed room, 1,600 seats full. If safe for us to do it, safe for your business to do it, we can reopen. That really should be the message, right? I mean, we got the vaccine, so reopen. You've all had the opportunity to get it, so reopen. And we're going to reopen the schools in the fall. But instead, we're still sitting 6 feet apart, when no Americans, by the way, are living this way. So only the elites now.
Who have been vaccinated.
Who have been vaccinated first.
Right.
Regardless of whatever, if they met any kind of those statistics, from 30 years old to 100, you know, however old they are, they got vaccinated, but, you know, they are not putting on the message of only an elitist gets to decide, I'm going to have 6 feet in front of me. I get to have this many chairs, and I don't have to show up to work.
And they didn't do all that. They were shaking his hands. They were fist pumping.
Oh, yeah, it's a joke. I mean, when your face mask is matching your jacket and your tie and this, yeah, and that, it's become an industry.
No, it is an industry. It's an industry.
And I love it because this is government on display. We're going to not even allow government to come to its own speech.
Possible for the vice president and the vice president and the speaker to not have masks on when they've both been vaccinated? I mean, really.
It's also bizarre because you see the movement, but you don't.
What was the sense you're hearing from members about all of that? I mean, it would be one thing if we were where we were 6 months ago, but thank God we're not.
I think there were lots and lots of members who thought, like Kevin McCarthy did, they thought it was theater over unity because, Jay, look, if the intent had been this speech is going to unify, this would have been the perfect example because this was an effort that was begun by the Trump administration. Operation Warp Speed was an overwhelming success, and then the Biden administration picked it up and carried it through. That would have been a message that could have unified, but they chose theater over unity. Jay, it was an opportunity to lead by example, but instead they wanted to keep the issue on the table for the reason that Jordan just talked about. If you want to engage in identity politics and you have to divide America to accomplish that, you don't really want to achieve the unity.
You know, they are such hypocrites. I mean, Gavin Newsom has the private dinner with, you know, tons of people there when you can't do it.
During the height of
it. And then our team here pointed out that Nancy Pelosi, I remember this now, wore a mask last night, but not when the height of the pandemic, when she was getting her hair done in
California. She's old. She was very vulnerable to this.
Yeah, look, I'm getting my hair cut this afternoon. You know what? I'm going to be wearing a mask. And I've been vaccinated. I mean, but
you don't have a choice. You don't even have a choice yet.
But
the irony of this
is then Joe Biden juxtaposes all this imagery around this statement, number 27.
After 100 days of rescue and renewal, America is ready for a takeoff, in my view. We're working again, dreaming again, discovering again, and leading the world again. We have shown each other and the world that there's no quit in America. None.
Okay, we're leading again. Let first of all, the imagery that was shot in the Senate chamber, which I have spoken at, and Jordan has been in as well during the impeachment, Andy, you too. that did not show we were leading again and open again and viable. It looked like a lot of elderly people. Okay.
Nursing home.
Yeah, I mean, almost. It was, I mean, I hate to say it. It was like, it was, Jordan said it. I'm not going to say it. But the fact is that it sent the wrong message. And then he has the nerve, the gall, to say, we're leading again. Meanwhile, Russia has amassed troops on the border of Ukraine. Iran is surrounding American warships, and the Chinese are threatening Taiwan. Other than that, Harry, we're leading again.
But you have to...
And the masks that they gave out in Congress were made in China.
Absolutely. So, but you have to hand it to the Democrats. They have mastered theater. And at the end of the day, however, it's all about control. It's not about unity. And it is not about science. Keep in mind that the Congress was socially distanced last night during the speech, despite an MIT study which shows that there is virtually no difference with respect to COVID transmission, and we're not talking about vaccinated people, if you're 6 feet apart or 60 feet apart. Why? Because the air is being recirculated. So the whole notion of socially distancing Congress last night is contrary to science, but it is pro-control, and it is pro-dividing the American people. So I think Than made a very excellent point. If you believe in identity politics, you have to pursue division.
I just wonder, you know, Jordan, the invocation, I'll go to Jordan and Andy on this one, the invocation of FDR so much. Now, a lot of people loved FDR because we were in a depression, but we got out of a depression in part because we ended up in a world war. If we study our history, okay, let's be clear. I was a history major, and I've studied a lot of history, and he's a history major. But the idolization of FDR, do we really want to go back to where the Work Progress Administration and all these agencies?
No,
I don't think so.
Hundreds of thousands of troop casualties, women having, you know, building missiles and bombs and planes, and you were having to do it. It worked for the time, but it's not modern. It's not the way our economy works now. And because of labor unions, because of what killed the manufacturing that was built out of that, we became this economy based off education.
Right.
And we put out a lot of people with bachelor's degrees and no jobs for that, you know, and didn't train people for work, didn't train people. So then you needed 3 more years of school, 4 more years of school, 8 more years of school, you know, to be qualified to do anything. So all of these plans rely on an America that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's just an America that is, and I think it's people like Tim Scott speaking out from the southern states, red states, states that have gone through historical changes. But yet, where's the massive protest on the races you're having in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Not the states that have
right.
dealt with it at most in your face, I would say, and addressed it. But it's maybe these very blue states that are now, it's this woke culture.
Yeah, it is the woke
culture. They now realize, wait, they were all racist.
Yeah. So the FDR issue, Annie, maybe we can talk about this maybe on the Mars program a little bit, but the FDR analysis. And I know a lot of people like FDR, but some of those policies were socialism.
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents thought he was the greatest thing who ever lived. And as a historian, I realized the important role that he played at a critical time in the United States history. But as you correctly pointed out, Jay, there was a world war that mobilized the nation and mobilized the economy. But when you quote Franklin D. Roosevelt in the year 2021, that is an inapposite analogy. You don't make that, and that's not the kind of big government that we want in the year 2021. We have education, we have computer learning, we have science, we have things that have developed since then that make this a completely different country. And to quote FDR and to analogize that kind of big government, as Biden did last night, was totally inapposite and inappropriate and really very scary.
Well, I just think the world that we live in now is it's still trending. And the people who are making jobs, creating jobs, are the people who are much more libertarian. And that's where the next American boom is. We all know that. Support the work of the ACLJ. We've got 24 hours left. Our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation if you donate today, and you have it until midnight tomorrow. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next time.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.